Good evening, fellow human beings of the planet Earth. Planet Earth, a planet orbiting the sun in the Goldilocks zone of our solar system, that sweet spot, right? The sweet spot where life can exist. The sweet spot where you have the triple point of water, you have water that is liquid. You have water that is in the form of a gas or steam. You also have water that's solid and ice. It is Wednesday, January the 29th, 2020, and it's the Little Saigon Report, and it's your good friend Dan. And I'd like to report something. Jane Deluxe is not dead. Jane Deluxe is not dead. She still exists on Twitter, fuck. And yes, she is a kind of time suck. Jane Deluxe is not dead. Jane Deluxe, a.k.a. Hector Nunez, a.k.a. Dr. Freckles, a.k.a. Paramanium, a.k.a. Dan Sullivan, a.k.a. who knows, I'm drinking fine Colombian coffee. Kirkland coffee picked from the fields of the mountains of some fucking place. Yes, Twitter is a total waste of time, and it's stupid, and I'm probably not gonna, like, keep doing this, but I like to fuck with people. It's messed up. And even AJ thinks we should do a special episode on how to fuck with people on Twitter. The first rule is, you've gotta pretend to be your enemy. Now, since I'm an anarchist, just about everybody on Twitter is my enemy, pretty much, right? But my favorite is to pick some protected person. You know, maybe an African-American woman of power and pride. Maybe a Mexican immigrant named Hector Nunez. Maybe a transgendered lesbian named Jane Deluxe. Yeah, I don't think Jane Deluxe is going to last long. Jane Deluxe says a lot of things that you would expect would get Jane Deluxe shadow banned and probably permanently banned. But then again, these are strange times. These are strange times, and they got bigger fish to fry than some hobo drifter in Little Saigon. Nobody cares about a hobo drifter in Little Saigon, and why the fuck should they? I don't threaten anything. I don't threaten the groove. I don't threaten any tragedy. I'm always on the move. I'm a hobo drifter. and I'm a transgendered lesbian. My name is Jane Deluxe, my other name. And as Jane Deluxe, I'm a dark-haired beauty. I'm just looking for love from another woman. Yes, I'm really a woman that loves women. So I left a link to Jane Deluxe in the notes of this podcast. If you want to click on her latest helpful statement, which is related to the coronavirus, please do. It's a knowledgeable update from a trans lesbian who's just looking for love named Jane Deluxe. Sure, she's a hooker. Sure, Jane Deluxe walks the streets of Broadway, but don't call her a prostitute. She's just a working girl. She's just looking for her way in the world. She's just trying to survive between angry Johns and mobs of angry gay men who want to kick her ass because, hey, there's a civil war. There's a civil war. There is a civil war in the gay community. Did you know that? Next topic, update on the virus. Update on the virus, reporters, aka journalists, aka liars, are claiming to have proof that China is lying about the death toll, which means that the mortality rate of the Mexican bat beer gumbus up the butt sideways corona super double lime virus might be different than what they said. It could be an extraordinarily dangerous virus now. The death toll has climbed to 170. It could be 10 times that much, fuck. We don't really know. We're not getting good information out of China, but, you know, guys, that doesn't mean anything, really. Because I don't have any good information. Any goddamn... Let's just unpack that bullshit. You know the common refrain from the people? There's no good information coming out of China. You know, Mr. Man, will you show me the magical place where there is good information? Because I can't find it. Every time I find a pipe labeled information, I turn the fucking spigot, I turn the fucking little valve, and out comes poop. So please, Mr. Man, who criticizes China for not giving us good information, please tell us where you're finding your good information. Please, Mr. Man. So this is on, this is on Zero Hedge, and this is updated recently. This is their summary page they've been doing on the virus. I find it very convenient. Death toll climbs to 170 from 132. 7,700 and change cases worldwide. Confirmed in China. Excuse me, 7,811 total. While the number of suspected cases have gone up too. Reporter claims local media has evidence Beijing lying about death toll. Well, that sounds great. British Airways cancels flights to China. Huh, that seems about too late. Trump says he spoke with Xi on the phone. I bet that was a nice call. Angry mob spotted in Sichuan. They used to call it Sichuan, people. Why'd they change the names? You remember when Mumbai was Bombay? And then you say, Dan, that's racist. That's racist. It was always Mumbai. No, man. It was Bombay, you fuck. Yeah. Center for Disease Control is sending representatives to China. Three Japanese aboard evac flight test positive for the Mexican beer bat virus. And there you go. There's your summary. I don't know, people. I don't know about this fucking virus. I really don't. It's one of those situations where, I don't know. I don't know, people, human beings, fellow Gumbus freaks of Section 12, fellow dimensional travelers stuck somewhere in between. This virus is beginning to change its Schrodinger components. I had been thinking it was probably mostly bullshit. We'll see. This hour of the Little Saigon Report is brought to you by Deflator Mouse. Deflator Mouse of Little Saigon. Deflator Mouse of Little Saigon has been offering streetside dining since 1981. Deflator Mouse of Little Saigon was opened up by a woman who fled Formosa, now called Taiwan, back in the day. And also her husband, a German man, probably some kind of Nazi. Deflator Mouse is famous for street-side sandwiches. These sandwiches are made of exotic materials and things you won't find normally sold in a street-side venue for sandwiches. Some would even say their sandwiches are crispy and tasty and greasy, and they're the most magical sandwiches you're going to get in Little Saigon. In fact, Germans consider Deflator Mouse of Little Saigon, to be one of the most authentic German Asian fusion restaurants of 2020. There's been a renaissance when it comes to those exotic little critters you want to find in a sandwich, but you don't want to ask too many deep questions about. So it's best to leave the, you know, the foreign name, the non-English name, the name that keeps you in the game, because if they don't know what it is, they can't complain. That's what I'm saying, my friend. Deflator Mouse is with you till the end. Even if you're bleeding out your butthole. Even if you're living in a shithole. Everybody can afford a street sandwich from Deflator Mouse. Everybody. Now, you're going to probably say, Dan, why would I go to Deflator Mouse? Well, you can go to McDonald's. You can go to McDonald's, and there is a likelihood that inside of a quarter pound of cheese or Big Mac, you will also find things that you would find at Deflator Mouse. It's all a matter of biology. statistical mechanics, and the United States Agricultural Department and Food and Drug Administration allowable amounts for things that we don't like to think about. Did you know that there is an allowable amount of rat feces that you can have in any can of food? Which means Uncle Dan has consumed a lot more rat feces than most people because he eats a lot of food out of cans, baby. And you're gonna say, Dan, that's terrible. Welcome to 2020. Yeah, a lot of people, they say, where can I take my boyfriend? Where can I take my girlfriend? Where can I take my lesbian lover? I've been out all night hooking on the streets. I made good money. Can I go to a midnight street venue and get myself a sandwich made out of something tasty and greasy with a foreign-sounding name? Well, until 1981, you couldn't, but since 1981 in Little Saigon, you can go to Deflator Mouse. You can get yourself a elegant, exotic street protein sandwich, but just don't ask what's in it. The one thing about Deflator Mouse. Yeah, the one thing about Deflator Mouse is just don't be too nosy. Don't ask too many fucking questions. These sandwiches are tasty. You want to ruin it for everybody you fuck? So this Friday night, if you're thinking about taking your girlfriend someplace, consider the street sandwich venue of Deflator Mouse in Little Saigon. We're open 24/7. And we have special hours during the plague time as the people are walking about with the virus. We'll stay open. We're a pretty good place when it comes to the health department. Of course, we fall under the category of massage parlor, Deflator Mouse does. It's a loophole. It turns out if you're a massage parlor in Little Saigon, you can also sell street protein sandwiches. It's a law going back to 1976, right after the boat people showed up. If you have a massage parlor, you can also sell sandwiches. And the rules are different. So right now, next topic, they're saying that this terrible, terrible bungus virus is going to infect 100,000 people within about a week or two. And that's significant because that would be, roughly 10 times where we're at right now. And in that scenario, with the current mortality rate, that would be 5,000 dead roughly, but maybe with the updated mortality rate, it could be between 5 and 20,000 dead from the virus out of China. Yes, it looks like we're experiencing the geometric progression of the infinite virus. Everything will be infected within a week or two. All of the land, all of the water, all of the soil. all of the ancient oceans and the burial grounds, all of the statues to the gods and all the gods themselves will be infected within a week. This virus is worse than herpes. This virus is worse than the crabs. Yeah, we're getting to the scary phase of this particular operation. And when I say the scary phase, because this is the phase where, however real it is, it's a function of how many people start getting sick and dying in places like, you know, the United States. Because one thing is certainly true, we don't have good border control. So this idea that there's no way they could get here, well, that's kind of crazy. And since they're now admitting it has a long period of asymptomatic contagion, then yeah, like I told you guys last week, ever since the crisis of the Bungus virus began, good old Uncle Dan could be sick already. I could be sick. We'll know within a few days. We'll know when I start getting the flibolites, the formation of pustules on my skin, the gromites, the glimbles. You'll know when I have to go to old Uncle Bungo's to get the leech treatment. Yeah, I'll tell you about that. Grunkus recommended it. He knows old Uncle Bungo from the island nation where he got his, you know, fucking medical degree. Old Uncle Bungo. Yeah, I don't know. Let's go to the next piece of news. And I'm going to leave these links for you guys to read the articles. I don't really want to read these, but here's another little factoid. Ron Paul came out today, and I feel like he constructed a non sequitur, and it feels like it was on purpose. And the guy is usually so rational and so fucking intelligent that when you catch him in something weird and stupid, you kind of want to pause and go, hmm. So Ron Paul came out today, and he declared the following. One, this coronavirus outbreak is nothing to worry about. Don't worry about the corona, the bat beer virus. It's no big deal. Now, what do we say about serious people saying things? When the serious people walk out and they say things like, there's nothing to worry about, don't worry, go back to work, nothing to see here, the coronavirus ain't nothing, and let's focus on Powell and the Federal Reserve. Because that was the gist of Ron Paul's statement, you know, but there's nothing to see here. Nothing. Don't worry about it. I consider Ron Paul to be a serious guy. I consider him to be a statesman. I would say that he is one of the reasons why this country has not entered a civil war. Because people like Ron Paul could have been egging people on to just sort of like drop out and go to ground, so to speak. But he didn't. He joined the Republicans. He went from being a libertarian to a fucking Republican. That was interesting. In a lot of ways, Ron Paul is the Bernie Sanders of the Republican Party. On the surface, he seems like the guy we need, right? A really principled, moral guy. A guy whose beliefs and concepts are aligned with liberty. In the same way that Bernie Sanders, his beliefs are aligned with Marxism. And yet, like Bernie Sanders, he always is a bridesmaid, never a bride, never a bride, always a bridesmaid, Dr. Paul. Yeah. When I read that, because why would Ron Paul even say shit about this? This is what's so stupid about this. This is really stupid. This is too stupid to be accidental. If I know Ron Paul's a doctor, so doctors have opinions, whatnot, but it almost seems like, and it's going to sound crazy, but it almost seems like some dude from the CDC said, "Dr. Paul, we need your help." The preppers are going to start going crazy. The militia will go underground. This could be bad, but we don't want people to get nervous. So will you do us a favor, Dr. Paul? Please. I mean, in the name of medicine, first do no harm, right, Dr. Paul? Please help us prevent a panic that will kill millions, Dr. Paul. So they went to Dr. Ron Paul, who also, keep in mind, is a former U.S. Air Force officer, so maybe they brought that up too. And they said, "Listen, dude, you'll always be an officer in the military. Now we need you to follow orders here, buddy." And so they said, "Ron Paul, will you give a speech or a lecture, or will you make a statement telling people that this Mexican beer bat virus, this coronavirus, this fucking super cold or super flu, that it, Mr. Trips, Dr. Trips, whatever it is it something Stephen King came up with? Is it something Steven Soderbergh came up with? Is it the plot to the movie Contagion? Seems like it." So please, please, Dr. Paul, go out and tell people that there's just nothing to worry about. Nothing to see here. Move along. I gotta say, yesterday I was 50-50. Like I was saying, this could be something to worry about. It might not be. I believe as of right now, we should probably tilt it to that 60-40 type category. It's still probably 50-50 until I see people dropping dead in Little Saigon, because I gotta say, you guys are lucky. You might be the luckiest little cohort of 20 people who listen to a podcast and all the fucking groups of people that listen to fucking podcasts. You might be lucky as fuck because I live in the International District. I live, between Japantown and Laotian town and Chinatown and Vietnamese town. I'm in Little Saigon. I'm right in the smack of it. And I'm out on the streets, baby. I'm out on the streets out there walking the Gumbus streets covered in fecal matter and street protein. I'm out there, buddy. And so if Ron Paul says, "Don't worry," then it makes me think about little Greta Thunberg who says, "Worry, worry, worry." Keep in mind, we're talking about the government here, or as stated in the last podcast, our new name. We got good names for the government. The crocodile, the protection racket, the Death Star. But my new favorite name for government is Destructo Force. And here's the thing about Destructo Force. Destructo Force really just wants you guys to behave and do as you're told. And they probably went to Ron Paul and convinced them that if people didn't fucking behave, lots of people would die. I don't know. The Center for Disease Control is part of Destructo Force. "Oh no, Dan, they're there to help us. They're there to help us with vaccines and research and recombinant DNA and CRISPR and monkey bats and oh fuck. Maybe they shouldn't make monkey bats. Flying monkeys. That sounds like a really bad virus." Yeah, I got a new name for this. I'm gonna call it the flying monkey virus because so far, it seems to be like the flying monkeys. It's scaring the fuck out of people, but I still don't know what it is. I mean, is it real? Is it here? Is it there? Lots of good videos, though. Yeah, when little Greta Thunberg says the world will explode in 10 years, and you can tell she's a fool. And she's being played like a fool, and her parents are treating her like a fool, which means they're pretty much dirtbags. When little Greta Thunberg says the world is going to catch on fire, you should probably take her seriously, okay? Which is to say that she's a fool, but she's there to basically, you know, make it easy for people to not care. Her purpose is to provide plausible deniability. People can listen to the scary story, but since it's a crazy person telling it, everyone can say, well, that little Greta, she's crazy as fuck. At least in their head. At least subconsciously, right? But when guys like Ron Paul come out and say shit, that's a little bit different. That's basically when they're gonna tell you something they want you to believe. For example, if Ron Paul tells you there's nothing to worry about, maybe there's something to worry about. And to amend the theory, the heuristic, as it applies to Yi Guan, one of the top 11 microbiologists in 2014, according to Thomson Reuters, who is petrified by this fucking virus. Yeah, you know what, though? He kind of like is almost on that Greta Thunberg side of the equation in a way. So he's almost serving the same purpose, the opposite direction, basically giving people plausible deniability. Don't worry about it. It's no big deal. And then you add to the fact that Ron Paul, he has cachet with preppers, even with anarchists. I mean, listen, anarchists like Ron Paul. So if Ron Paul says, don't worry, this fucking virus is no big deal, but hey, what about the Federal Reserve? It does sound like a kind of mental magic trick, and it is a kind of, I think it might be crap. You know? It's so fucking, it fits together in such an incongruous way that the only way to interpret it is, holy fuck. It's possible that this thing is real. Now, let's say that it is real. Well, that's the good news. You've got a friend in Little Saigon. Because here's what I would wager. If this thing is real, people in my building are going to start getting seriously ill within a week or two. And that means by Valentine's Day, our bloody Valentine, you could have a lot of people vomiting and pooping their insides out and dying on the streets. And it could happen. By Valentine's Day, it could. In order to lighten the mood, I think I'm going to stroll on over to the Weekly World News. If that's okay with my listeners out there, I think it would be worth taking a look at what the Weekly World News has to say. By this time, my guess is they have their own fucking theories. Holy shit. What's the headlines here? Weekly World News, Lust in Space, Astronauts Fall in Love. Well, that's an important article. Lester Cain talks about marrying a dolphin. Man orders German Shepherd online, winds up with 57-year-old man. Holy fuck. Full of Fulton. Let's read about the crazy-ass German. This is coming from the Weekly World News, which means that, well, as we already know, As we are already aware on the Little Saigon Report, Weekly World News is now, as it has always been, the most reliable news source. In fact, if you read the quote from their website, it says, "The world's only reliable news." And at this point in human history, I believe that statement is undoubtedly true. So, headline, man orders German Shepherd online, dot, 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 good use of ellipses, winds up with 57-year-old man, fuck, German man. And I will read on. This is authored by Brick Rivers, which doesn't really sound like a real person, but hey, it might be. It's a good porn star name. Have you noticed that the writers for the Weekly World News have like these really great porn star names? They do. Brick Rivers. Oliver Hasper had gone through a very bad year. His wife left him and took the children. Broken and broke after the divorce, he decided to buy a dog as a companion. Not having a pet store or a dog shelter within 100 miles of a small spread in Earworm, North Dakota, he ordered a German Shepherd online. And I quote, "I even ordered the dog express mail," Hasper stated. "And my German Shepherd was guaranteed to arrive within a week. I went to the nearest airport to pick him up. He was to be shipped in a dog-friendly kennel cage. Awaiting him at the airport wasn't the Rin Tin Tin pup he'd expected, but a 57-year-old German Shepherd named Carl Newman." And I quote, "You can imagine my shock," said Hasper. "I was expecting this little puppy I could pet and cuddle, and I was greeted by a 57-year-old short, squat, bearded guy named Carl. He was an actual German Shepherd." And I quote, "The first thing that hit me, I wasted a lot of money on dog food, chew toys, and pee pads. The next thing I did was to hide the dog collar and leash I brought with me. I didn't want the guy to think I was into kinky stuff. Plus, the collar was way too small." The two men embraced awkwardly and proceeded to Hasper's home. He started to screw around with my car radio and eventually found a station that was all heavy metal all the time. It was interesting. We bonded over headbanger music, and eventually I saw that dog treats weren't the way to go. So we went through a drive-thru restaurant and pigged out on burgers. My original plan was to get the Shepherd all its shots, but I didn't know who to call, the ASPCA or the Department of Immigration. Between the two of us, we settled on a six-pack. That was a good choice there, buddy. Despite the awkwardness of the situation, Carl fit on Hasper's farm. "It's sort of a farm ranch," said Hasper. "Acres of wheat, some cattle, cars, and Carl is an incredibly hard worker. And the cattle just love him. He plays the flute. We've had a couple of really bad thunderstorms lately, and the cattle were getting spooked. Carl picked up his flute, started playing, and the cattle calmed down immediately. He has a way with animals. I like that Carl." I like that, Carl, don't you? Still, Hasper knew that Carl's presence might be illegal, so he contacted the company that sent him the sheep herder. And I quote, "I wound up talking to someone in New Delhi named Terrence. He promised me a refund. Instead, I was sent an ostrich. Carl named him Bic Bert. Bic Bert. And he even rides the thing." Frustrated, Hasper took Carl to the state capital, Bismarck, to figure out what to do next. And I quote, "Nobody could agree on anything. I had all the paperwork. We were bounced around from office to office, agency to agency. Outside outfits both threatened me and supported me. Lawyers offered me their services for free once Carl played the flute for them. So depending on who you talk to, I'm either a champion of the little guy or a slave owner. As long as I don't have to pay, let them all battle it out in court. By the time they've done it, I'll be as old as Carl." Today, this odd couple seems to have found a winning formula. Carl's a great cook, and we're both trying to learn each other's languages, mostly swear words. He plays the tuba, too, so it looks like Earworm will have its first Oktoberfest this year, Hasper enthuses. Well, that's nice. And Hasper adds, it turns out he loves chew toys. He loves chew toys. You should see him with the squeaky ones. And the rawhide bones? Fuck. He goes through them like there was no tomorrow. I call that a win-win situation. Well, isn't that a feel-good story? You know, I'm kind of glad that we have these feel-good stories from Weekly World News. Because it is the world's most reliable news source, the only reliable news source. All of the other ones are dead. They're gone. They're destroyed. But now we still have the Weekly World News, the world's only fucking reliable news source. And yet they still don't have an article about the virus. There's a Weekly World News viral blackout. They don't want people talking about the virus in the checkout line. They know that the Weekly World News influences the movers, the shakers, the grifters, and the Quakers. They know that this is the journal of record for the decision makers in America today. I don't know about this fucking virus. If it's real, it's just another thing that might kill me. Add it to the list. Here's the deal, folks. I feel like in the Great Discontinuity, it might make sense to keep a list of things that might kill you. Yes, 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 it's possible that the list will get quite long, but it's just it might kill you, and something has to. If you ask me, would I prefer to die, and I've covered this before, so if you've heard me say this before in a previous soliloquy on the question of how do I want to spend my golden years, here's the deal. If I had a choice between dying slowly in some assisted living facility sometime in the year 2050, okay, if I had a choice between that or simply living another 10 or 15 years but being able to at least, you know, exist and participate in shit and, you know, eat crappy food and drink shitty beer and live until I die, I would much rather just die. Like, you know, it's not to me this whole thing like, well, if you can make it to 68, Dan, you get to retire. I don't know what retirement is, but I do know that it's probably bullshit, okay? I'm not saying there aren't retired people today, there are. Or I should say they're on vacation. But the state of retirement probably doesn't exist. It's an idea, it's a philosophy that was created in the 19th century by Otto von Bismarck. Otto von Bismarck, he didn't want the socialists, the fucking social democrats, to rule the new German state. He wanted the Germans to be loyal to the new German state. So Otto von Bismarck created Social Security. But he asked his numbers guys, when are most people dead by? And they said, I don't know, 65, 68, which was true. In the mid to late 19th century, most people were dead by 65. So what you have in Social Security under Bismarck isn't a retirement program. It's a program to make sure that people who can no longer work don't die in the streets, which according to Bismarck's statisticians would be a relatively small number. And then you make it to the 20th century and FDR and Social Security, which he basically ripped off from the Germans. We gave them the concentration camp. They gave us Social Security. What do you mean, Dan? Oh, I forgot. We called them reservations. Like it was a fancy hotel. Hey, Cherokee Nation, do you have reservations? Yeah, we called them reservations. They were concentration camps. Death camps, really. We gave the Germans eugenics and death camps. We gave them technical help building computers to monitor the flow of humans to processing facilities. And in return, what did they give us? Social Security. Here's the thing, folks. By the time you get to good old FDR, more and more people are living to be 65. And by the time you get to now, a lot of people are living to be 65. Now, most of this is a function of plumbing and clean water and food that doesn't kill you, which I think is starting to change. That's one of the reasons why life expectancy in the United States is starting to go the other direction. And frankly, by the time I'm 68, I kind of expect the average life expectancy to be 50. So in truth, I should have you guys fucking applaud me right now. Because by the time I reach 68, I will be one of the oldest people on earth, if I make it. Dan, that's crazy. Are you saying things could get that bad? They might. I don't know. Like I said, make a list. That's my advice. If you're going to get stressed out about the fucking virus, make a fucking list of things that might kill you. Take that list and then burn it. Here's the deal. It is better to live if you can live. If you can walk, if you can run, if you can breathe, if you can eat. Hell, if you can drink beer and vape weed, it is better to be doing that than to be dead. But if you can't enjoy yourself, if you can't enjoy a walk, if you can't enjoy shooting your rifle or going fishing or, you know, vaping weed and drinking beer, if you can no longer do any of the things that make you happy, then what the hell is so fucking tragic about having a heart attack and dying? You see, I have this problem. There are a lot of motherfuckers out there who think that because they were born, they're entitled to live forever. And it's funny, a lot of these people are like, they're atheists. They don't believe in God. They actually, their total faith is in science and technology, and they believe that because they were born at some magical time in human history, they get to live forever. That's not going to happen. I mean, they might tell you shit like that, but it's not going to happen. It's like that story I told many months ago about Etheria, you know, that in a few years they might have advertisements for some other dimension that's going to welcome us as refugees because the Earth is collapsing. So please, 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 before the Earth's ecology collapses, please come to Etheria. Please come to the dimension named Etheria. There's food and water and grass and beautiful, beautiful lakes and oceans in Etheria. There's still salmon in Etheria. There are whales. There's nature. There's life in Etheria. Come to Etheria. Please come to Etheria. Did you read that email from your grandma? She's already in Etheria. Come to Etheria. But here's the thing. What if Etheria is just a box? What if Etheria is just a little fucking phone booth you walk into, your body gets vaporized, your family gets emails from some fucker who has studied your file and does a good job to send really short messages because, hey, it's expensive to send messages back and forth from Etheria. So all you can send are basically these little text messages. Not much you can say. Not much you can fuck up. A lot of people would go to Etheria. They would walk into that fucking phone booth. I gotta say, that's probably one of the best ways if you want to kill a lot of people, especially given the shit people believe. Tell them that you go into the phone booth and it takes you to a magical paradise dimension where there's food and water and shelter and everyone you love is there. And it's really the perfect atheistic, materialistic replacement for God. Come to Etheria, enter the phone booth, and you'll be transported to a dimension where there's food and water and fish, where there's happy people doing happy shit. No one will judge you in Etheria. There's science and math and computers in Etheria, shit. Everything's there for you in Etheria. Just go to the fucking, you know, death booth. I mean, the transportation module. And put in your special coupon code. The one you got for winning the award. Come to Etheria. Yep. I think there are people who would do that. No, retirement's bullshit, people. There is no retirement, and there never really was. It's really just vacation. It's one of the reasons why I have decided, given the state of the world, to be a bit more rational about my vacation. Now, some people would say, including family members, Dan, shouldn't you have a 401k or a pension for your retirement? And I just shake my head and say, listen, buddy, in order for your retirement program to even theoretically work, for it to even be theoretically possible for you to retire in 20 years, let me let you in a little secret. There would have to be such a radical improvement in science and technology that it would make the requirement of investing in your bullshit irrelevant. Let me explain. Imagine a rocket ship was heading to the nearest star. Like, I don't know, Bernard's star. Let's say it was heading to a star and it was about, I don't know, 3 or 4 light years away. And the rocket ship is going at 10%. Let's say it's going at half the speed of light. No, let's say 10%. So the whole trip is going to take 30 to 40 years. You got to slow down, whatever, fuck. 30 to 40 years on the rocket ship in hypersleep. And while you're in hypersleep, they invent hyperspace. And your transponder was damaged, so they don't even know where you are in deep space. And so by the time you get to the planet, they're already there. And you spent 40 years in a metal tube. Because by the time you get to the planet, the way you were going to get there completely superseded. Here's the deal, and please listen. The logic is really simple. In fact, it's fucking simple. It's so fucking simple that if you understand what I'm saying, you'll get it. If you currently have a 401k or any type of retirement plan, for your retirement plan to yield anything useful 20 years from now, there would have to be such a radical shift in technology that I don't need to be on your slow-ass rocket ship. By the time it happens, I can be just a Gumbus freak in Little Saigon, and guess what? We'll have the post-scarcity, everything will be virtually free, and while all that was happening, whatever, Uncle Dan was living his fucking relaxing, awesome, simplified existence without responsibilities or kids, whatever. and you were putting your money away into the fucking retirement fund. However, here's the other side of the thing. Let's say there is no retirement fund, there is no retirement, it's all bullshit, and within the next 12 to 24 months, you're going to find this out. You won't have to wait 20 years. You're going to find it out pretty soon, I think, how much bullshit is in this financial system. And so I say once again, in that scenario, why not just be on vacation? If you can afford it, why not? If you have kids, if you have responsibilities, I get it. If I had kids, I wouldn't be living like this, but I don't. Okay? I never managed to meet a woman who wanted to bear my children. You know what? I could take that as an insult, but I just frankly don't give a fuck. That's right, people. It's a simple fucking wager. If there is a future where you're going to get to, and I quote, retire, the kinds of technology that would have to exist would mean that you don't really need to save for it. It's magic. And it's just going to fucking happen. It'll be free food, free trips to the moon, free condos on Mars, free hookers and cocaine for everybody. That is my general theory of retirement. And I've mentioned it before, but why not mention it again? Because people love to ask Dan, as such a man in your peak years of being 50, why have you given up on the system? And I would say in response, my friend, you fuck, the system gave up on people like me a long time ago. The system wanted people like me to crawl into a hole and die pretty much since I went to my first, you know, year at university. And I was told exactly what people like me should do. The only thing I've been told for the last fucking 40 fucking years is that people like me are the reason why the world is going to be destroyed. People like me are the cause of slavery. People like me are the reason why women and gay people and transgendered people don't get to do whatever they want to do. People like me should just fucking die. And you're asking me why I do what I do? Are you fucking kidding me? I am doing exactly what people like me do. We survive. We survive, we endure, we find spaces of existence where we don't feel like total pieces of shit, and we survive. People like us, we are survivors. Yeah, sure, it's messy, but you know what? Life has always been messy. Look where it came from. Basically came from poop. Life came from poop. People say, which came first, the chicken or the egg? No. The poop came first. Of course, they'll call it the primordial ooze, but you know, I think that's just a fancy name for poop. Poop came first, not the chicken, not the egg. Not the chicken, not the egg, it was the poop. Sorry about that. If you listen to the Little Saigon Report and you ask yourself, why is this crazy old dude making podcasts that last hours and hours in Little Saigon, Seattle, while the world catches fire? If you listen to this podcast and you have taken care of your food, your water, your shelter, You've taken care of the people you love, to include animals and dogs and cats and all the things that live within the sewers. If you've done all the things you need to do in preparation for the viruses and the zombies and the asteroids and the caldera volcanoes and the methane bursts and all the tidal waves and the fucking ice ages, Maunder solar fucking minimums, up the butt yin-yang pole shifts, fuck. If you're prepared for the fact that the cosmic window to deep space will be opening soon, and so cosmic rays will flow faster into our atmosphere, the heliosphere will collapse and we will begin to have more clouds and more rain and more snow and more death. If you've done all the things you need to do to prepare for all of the above, to include robot apocalypse, dog and cat apocalypse, and now we have Mexican beer bat virus apocalypse, fuck. If you've done all these things and you still have money left over, which I think is awesome, and like I said, you like my podcast, that's not so bad either. If you do, you can donate. I have links to Venmo and PayPal that will be in the description area of this podcast and are on my homepage at, you know, easily gotten to by going to iamsully.com or just going to my SoundCloud homepage. There are links to Venmo and PayPal. And an email address if you want to talk to me about other things, like some dude shipped me food. Will I take shipments of food in the year 2020? Of course I will. But nothing perishable, baby. And no fucking bats. I don't want cans of bat. You can say, Dan, this is artisanal bat that was canned in Szechuan. It's sizzling Szechuan bat in a can. And what I'll tell you is, buddy, I don't need that. I don't need that. I was married once.